2202.
Time to batten the hatches. The U.S. is unveiling the Atlantic hurricane forecast. Easy for me to say. Hello, everybody. Kate hanging with you here on America Tonight. Coming up on a big holiday weekend. For many, this symbolizes the beginning of vacation season. Kids are starting to get out of school. It's Memorial Day weekend. If nothing else, you've got a long weekend, hopefully many of you, in front of you. Be careful if you're out there driving. Notice that the gas prices have gone up, but that's what happens every Memorial Day, even if it's just a little bit. We've seen a pretty big increase from what it was to under $2 to now up to about $2.30, $2.20, $2.50. It's funny, the various swings depending on where you live. Usually in the more urban area, you're going to pay a little bit more, but not always. In New Jersey, because of their tax situation, the gas is cheaper. In California and Los Angeles and San Francisco, big urban areas, much more expensive. Chicago, terrible in Chicago. Sometimes Chicago has the highest of every city in the United States. So anyway, be careful if you're out there on the highways and the roadways and out there boating or doing whatever it is you're going to do this Memorial Day. Coming up on this show, we're going to talk a little bit more about the terror plot that was shot down, so to speak, in New York. I got a little inside scoop on that. Also, Obama, big day to talk about Gitmo for Obama, who was not happy that he didn't get his money from Congress, thinking that it was a layup. It turned out not to be so, and he said that the prison was a misguided experiment. That's what he called it. So we're going to talk about Guantanamo as well. Also, the shocking story from New Mexico, a mother confessing to suffocating her kid and ultimately burying him in the sand in a playground. What do you think she should get? Apparently, she had been abusing the kid, was a hard partier, and it's just a very, very sad story. I mean, I can't even put it into words after reading some of what happened to this young boy who is now dead. Let's start with the New York terror case for a quick second here. We were talking about the links yesterday, and more is coming out, and I have a friend who's a reporter in New York who's got some pretty good information on this as it was breaking, kind of before, had some good FBI contacts, and they were keeping people at bay. Because, of course, you know, it was one of those deals with the FBI where the informant actually, as I was explaining last time, actually set up the deal for the missile and for the explosives and whatnot. And apparently the informant was able to put himself in a position at the mosque where he was trusted. And the four who decided that they were going to try to pull this off used him as that liaison to the weaponry that they needed. And the whole thing was absolutely 100% fueled by hatred of America and Jewish people as well. So the four that were picked up spent months scouting all kinds of areas trying to figure out what they could do with surface-to-air missiles and what they could do with explosives and all that sort of stuff. And just like in a movie, and I think I said this in the last show, what my buddy at this radio station in New York told me is that there was no question. He knew, the informant knew, that they were hyper to do something. They wanted to do something. They wanted to flex their muscle, but they were looking in all the different boroughs. It wasn't just that one synagogue. You know, they were looking at different other targets, as I just mentioned. So it just happened to be the synagogue in the Bronx that came up, you know, flipped the coin, heads, tails. And sure enough, after a year, they were ready to make this become a reality, but the FBI was there instead, and they were there from the beginning. So the bombs outside the synagogues, of course, were useless. They were explosives that weren't going to work. They were inert. And instead, they had a missile that was defunct, that wasn't loaded, that wasn't going to shoot anything down. And that's the good news, ultimately. But it does bring to light the reminder of what we face in the United States, sometimes from homegrown terrorists. And the scary thing about this, and this is some of the stuff that was revealed to me by this reporter who had the inside edge on this, that what they were trying to do, or what happened to them, is they were turned around. They were radicalized. They were guys that you talked to before they got into the prison system, and they had nothing to do with being an Islamic terrorist or wanting to kill Americans or any of that kind of stuff. It wasn't even a thought in their head, according to anyone close to them. But once they got into the prison system, things turned in a different direction for them. So obviously heavily influenced by what they encountered while they were behind bars. And so the idea was to blow up two synagogues in a very Jewish area called Riverdale in the Bronx and shoot down planes at the National Guard base in Newburgh, which is about 50 miles north of New York City. And what did they have in common? They were absolutely down on their luck. They worked, one worked at a landscaping place, another one worked at Walmart, a warehouse, when they weren't when they weren't serving time for something related to drugs. And a lot of them had children. One had a 7-year-old daughter, a newborn son, and people were floored that this was the same guy. His name was Dave Williams. They were floored that this man could have been involved in this plot. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. But see, he was making $150 a week in his job. He was despondent, and he had served a couple of years in prison. And after he was convicted on the drug and weapons charges, and that's where he ended up. And prison did that to him. And the same with the other two as well. So this goes to what we're talking about as far as Guantanamo. You take the detainees, put them even in supermax prisons. Ultimately, what permeates throughout that prison, what permeates anywhere where anybody's touched by the disparity of having nothing on the outside, nothing on the inside, etc. And it's, again, it's that radicalization that would be implanted into our systems. And at this point, you're talking about 240 detainees. Now, some of them wouldn't come here, so how many would? A big chunk of them. Others might get sent back to their homelands, although most don't want them at this point. And here's something interesting to note. The detainees who were sent packing from Guantanamo, who were taken back from their homelands, have gone into terroristic activities. There was a report, I don't know how long ago it was, and it might have been the New York Times or the Washington Post somewhere, and they talked about that in tracking some of the people who were gone from Guantanamo, that's exactly what happened. They didn't go back and become model citizens. They went back and caused more problems. So you're going to take these problem detainees, these terrorists, because that's what most of them are, and you're going to put them into a supermax prison in the United States, and you're going to feed them their three squares, house them until they die, I guess, give them their due process, and it's an easy question. Who do you vote with? Do you think Obama's right that this is an abomination, what happened during this experiment? We're going to let you hear that coming up round the bend on America Tonight.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting, chewable, containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today.
1-800-210-1922.
With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet.
1-800-210-1922.
Or go to orderchoose.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever noticed that celebrities are endorsing weight loss products and health aids? Do you think they endorse these products for free? I don't think so. I'm here to tell you, I'm not a celebrity, and Life Change Tea doesn't need one. Think about this. The product speaks for itself. What a concept. Our product works. You get healthy, and you'll lose weight. Summer's coming. Look and feel good. Order now. 928-308-0408. Write this down. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. It's easy. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. You have nothing to lose but the excess around your, anyway. Life Change Tea. It speaks for itself. That's GetTheTea.com.
Coming up, why Barack Obama says Guantanamo has to close. And then I'm going to tell you what Dick Cheney had to say about it. But first, the blunder of the day has to go out to the president and why he really needs that teleprompter, baby, even for names. Because President Obama, who sees the Secretary of Defense pretty much every day, flubbed Robert Gates' name on Thursday. And, of course, Gates was in the crowd for Obama's national security speech. He pointed him out. The president said William Gates was on hand. Whoops. I don't know. Listen, it's easy to forget names, right? Obama was probably thinking of Bill Gates, perhaps. I don't know. But the defense chief, who I think is such a great guy, he cuts across so many administrations. And he was at one time the president of Texas A&M. Anyway, he goes by Bob. And he was also misidentified at a Pentagon ceremony on Tuesday. And then he was introduced as Ronald Gates. He just needs to wear a name tag. They just need to get him a big, giant name tag. Hello, I'm the Secretary of Defense. And my name is Robert Gates, but you can call me Bob. I mean, yeah, crazy, I know. He is an important member, I would say. All right, other than that flub, the other thing about Obama's speech, which was right in front of the Constitution and was at the National Archives, is that, of course, he was going to come out and he's going to talk about the inmates being transferred to the United States and then trying the one detainee in New York. And the reaction to not getting the bread, the do-re-mi, to make this plan happen. Here's a little slice, because it was a very long speech. Here's a little slice of what Obama had to say.
I know some have argued that brutal methods like waterboarding were necessary to keep us safe. I could not disagree more. As Commander-in-Chief, I see the intelligence. I bear the responsibility for keeping this country safe. And I categorically reject the assertion that these are the most effective means of interrogation. Instead of serving as a tool to counter terrorism, Guantanamo became a symbol that helped Al-Qaeda recruit terrorists to its cause. Indeed, the existence of Guantanamo likely created more terrorists around the world than it ever detained. We are not going to release anyone if it would endanger our national security. Nor will we release detainees within the United States who endanger the American people.
All right, so how about at Guantanamo? The president says probably, likely, more terrorists were spawned as a result of Gitmo. And Guantanamo officially housing prisoners, terrorists, suspects, etc. since 2002 on the heels of the September 11th attacks, of course, back in 2001. Of note, and I mentioned this, there's a Pentagon report. It's not released yet, but what it says in the report is it concludes that about 1 in 7 of the 534 prisoners already transferred away from Guantanamo have returned to terrorism or military activity. And this was something that was put in the New York Times. So another thing, I guess, to just think about. Because that's the other deal here. You have people arguing, well, they don't have, how do we know? They haven't had due process. And remember, you're innocent until proven guilty, at least if you're in the United States. Well, there are a lot of problems that Obama's got with this whole Guantanamo issue. And it starts with the fact that the Democrats basically said no to Obama, and they voted down the $80 million in funding. And, of course, Republicans were pushing back at them and saying that they were soft on terrorism, and so many of the Dems, knowing that their folks back home would be furious, did not go the way of Obama. And I think he was surprised. He didn't expect that was going to happen. So Guantanamo, do I think it'll be closed when ultimately Barack Obama wants to see it closed? I'm going to say maybe not. It might not happen in January. He's going to have to hurry and scramble and get that money to make it a reality. I think the one detainee being tried, rather, in New York represents the possibility of more coming in. And then, of course, we know, you know, what that leads to. And as you know, Cheney would obviously have a much different opinion on this. And here's what's interesting about Dick Cheney. He's been saying this all along, that the administration, in his view, certainly, he doesn't even say it like that. He said they did what they had to do. But it's funny, Dick Cheney delivers a speech about terrorism, and there's a new national poll out that's saying a lot of people are looking at the vice president favorably, that popularity has risen. 55% of the people questioned in a poll say, in the CNN Opinion Research Corporation survey, right? 55% say they have an unfavorable opinion of the former VP, but 37% say they have a favorable opinion. And why do we say it's up? Because it's up almost 8 points from January when he left office. So in the past 2 months, he's become a pretty big critic, obviously, of the Obama administration. He's done a ton of television interviews, one radio interview, and his visibility. He's certainly one of the most outspoken critics of Obama. So you could maybe see that rise a little bit more, and that could be, for some, that's probably surprising, because a lot of people are saying Cheney needs to just go away and all this other sort of stuff. But the poll is suggesting that 41% of Americans have a favorable opinion of the former president, too, with 57% viewing him unfavorably. You can do what you want with poll information, though, as I am very fond of saying, and you're well aware of how I feel about the polls. Dale is listening to us in Illinois. Hey, Dale, thanks for the call. What do you say?
Hi, Kate.
Hi. What do you think?
Well, I think there has to be some resolution to the situation where President Obama says, you know, waterboarding was not, you know, was not doing any good, mm-hmm. and Vice President Cheney says it was. But here on a lighter side, this is what we need to do, Kate. We need to send Sandy Berger over to the archives. Now, Sandy's a nice-looking guy, well-dressed.
Right.
He has these big baggy pants.
Uh-huh.
He's got enough room in there to put tools in to fix a 747.
Uh-huh.
And we'll send him in there, and he'll take those documents out. And, I mean, I don't know about you, but I carry all my personal stuff in my Fruit of Looms and my socks. That's what we need to do, Kate.
Yeah, referring to Berger's blunder. And no prosecution, by the way, for that.
Yeah,
so.
He's only going to get a slap on the wrist, girl.
Absolutely. It's crazy. Oh, everything from the Clinton administration simply missing. We don't have any of it. Sandy Berger must have been in the room. That was a good reference. You made me laugh. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the phone call, Dale. You have a fabulous weekend. That was good.
Bye.
Very clever. For some, it may be a little bit of a stressful weekend because a lot of people are looking for jobs. You know, the jobless claims kind of went under the wire, but more Americans than actually forecast, you know, they have a number that they come up with, filed claims for unemployment insurance last week. The total number of workers receiving the benefits, you know, the unemployment, rose to a huge record. So that's a sign, that's an indicator that, hey, the job market is pretty weak, even as the economy is kind of on a little bit of an uptick, kind of on an uptick. So the jobless claims fell by 12,000 to 631,000 in the week that ended May 16th. But, it was initially higher, but still the total number of people getting unemployment is over 6.66 million. I mean, that's a record. That's 16 straight weeks of a record. And you know that's going to keep going up because you've got the Chrysler crunch with the bankruptcy, and there's going to be a much higher spike in that unemployment. It's going to keep pushing that number higher and higher and higher. All right, coming up on the flip side, two big movies. We're going to lighten the load a little bit. Two big movies coming out this weekend. One of them is The Terminator. Also, how do you like your pizza? This is a great weekend for pizza. Are you a deep dish guy? Or do you like thin crust? We'll talk about it next.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know that it's a documented fact 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? You may be one of millions of people suffering from one of dozens of debilitating chronic diseases from these parasites, and your doctor would never know it. In fact, clinically detected parasites account for only 1% of all cases. Don't continue to suffer from pain due to misdiagnosis. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metal poisoning, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is used around the world, has numerous uses, and is now available to you from Freshwater Organics. FPP strengthens skin, hair, and bones, lowers cholesterol, and is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Order some today at freshwaterorganics.com. Again, that's freshwaterorganics.com, or call 888-949-3570.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Acola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
You know, Memorial Day weekend for a lot of people is a good chance to just chill with the family, go visit some friends, hang out, go to the lake, go do something. And usually you're going to eat some really, let's face it, carbo-laden food. Cheeseburgers, pizza, that kind of stuff. I mean, you know it, because you're not going to feel like cooking healthy food, or at least most people aren't. So pizza, it's a good time for pizza. It really is. Either you're ordering it, maybe you're making it, but I think a lot of people order it deep dish, or is it thin crust you like? If you're going to get fast food pizza, what fast food pizza do you lean toward? Is it Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, Big Jim's? There's probably somewhere in between that I'm missing. It's funny, now when you order like the Domino's and all those other kind of things, the Pizza Hut, it's crazy what you can get on these pizzas. I mean, it's crazy. And then they give you the breadsticks on top of it. You remember they used to do that thing where they threw in the breadsticks? I thought, my gosh, you'd have to, like, run on the treadmill for 4 hours after that. You stuff yourself with breadsticks that you dip in sauce, and then you're eating pizza on top of it. Are you kidding me? So, for me, there's two. I like deep dish pizza. And having spent a bunch of time in Illinois and Chicago, I think that the best, people would say Pizzeria Uno. Yeah. You gotta like this song. It's totally goes for the pizza thing. You gotta listen to this.
I married a nice young handsome fella. He don't care much for mozzarella. He likes a little pizza every night. He don't care for Parmigiano spaghetti. He just wants me to be always ready. Give him a little pizza every night. He gives me a little kiss and then he hugs me once
again. Yeah, a little pizza every night. So a pizza, to me, in Chicago, there's a place. And if you're ever in Chicago, trust me, go to this place. It's called Lou Malnati's. And just get a slice of pizza. It's very good. And I think I know there's one, and it's in the middle of the city. It's easy to find. You can ask anyone. But I think they have a couple of different Malnati's. And I thought that was the best pizza I ever had, deep dish pizza. But I like, because I'm from, you know, the East, I like the really greasy, giant slices of pizza. It really is a slice. You don't so much get a pie. You go to, like, Max on the Boardwalk in Jersey, or you go to South Street in Philadelphia, and you see people from all over, probably tourists and stuff. And they're just eating a slice of pizza. That's how I like my pizza, really. But you got to be careful because it is so oily. And it's really kind of thin. It's got the thick crust at the end, but the pizza itself is pretty thin. How do you like your pizza, America? AmericaTonight.net if you want to jump in on this one. Yeah. We're stepping away from Guantanamo for a minute. Because we don't pound things into the ground here on America Tonight, or at least we try not to. Matt, you live in You live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'm wondering what kind of pizza do you like?
I'll pretty much eat anything when it comes to pizza, but I'd have to say I think I might. I don't know. It's a toss up between kind of the New York style and then a deep dish, but. If you go to Chicago and have deep dish, you got to go to Geno's. What are you talking about?
I like Geno's. I've been to Geno's. It's so funny. Geno's is like kind of like a pit when you go in there and you go downstairs.
That's the best place, though. It's the best part. They got graffiti on the walls and everything.
I know. I've eaten there many times, but I think, and I think it's good, but I think Lou Malnati's is better. There's something about their deep dish pizza to me that's a little bit better. But I think there's no question, you know, all these people in other parts of the country eat the Pizzeria Uno's pizza, and it's probably fine, but it's still not the same as when you get it in Chicago. It's like getting a cheesesteak in Philadelphia is different than when you get a cheesesteak on the menu at Applebee's or wherever.
The Subway cheesesteak isn't the same as it is
in Philadelphia. You can only get a real cheesesteak and the way it tastes in Philadelphia. I think that. It's the bread. It's the bread more than anything, and then also the steakums, the meat that they have, is not the same at other places. I mean, I'm sure the sandwiches are fine, but they don't taste like a cheesesteak. And I would say it's funny you bring up the New York style pizza because that's what I said. It's that giant slice. It's incredible. It's huge. I don't know how. It's even tough to eat because
you gotta
fold it. Yeah, you gotta
fold
it
in half and get all over it.
And it's greasy. Oh, it's so greasy, but it is so good. It just doesn't taste. It doesn't taste like the Pizza Huts, the Domino's, those kind of pizzas. But, I mean, pizza's pizza. When you really want it, you will eat whatever kind is available. But there are just cuts above, I think. And we both mentioned places that are a cut above. It's true. You walk in Geno's or you walk in Lou Malnati's, and, I mean, you're already salivating. You feel like a dog running up to the bowl for food. Because there's something in the air. I don't know what it is. It just triggers that sense in you. And that's what I would say about, you know, both of those types of pizza. Now, there's probably lots of hidden secrets all over the place. I've just read an article about pizza. This comes up at least a couple of times a year where somebody debates pizza, you know, somebody in some magazine or Rachel Ray's magazine or Oprah's or New York Times or wherever. And, there are other types of pizza, like you have Indian pizza that I just read about in San Francisco, and it's got this masala sauce on it, so it's got a taste, well, it's like Indian food. It'd be like having a little bit of an Indian food taste on a pizza. Ugh, I don't know how that would taste to me. And, of course, in Los Angeles, they have Korean-style pizza. And I guess what Korean pizza is you've got sweet potato mousse and ground beef and onion and bell pepper and mushrooms and jalapeno and cheddar cheese. And, wow. I mean, it just sounds like there's too much piled on. Is it potato mousse or sour cream or whatever? So I'm more of a traditionalist. I don't like the cheeseburger on top of the pizza or whatever. Lo and behold, I knew somebody would hit me up on the email anyway. You can call in, too, 800-259-5791 or americatonight.net.
You have mail, mistress.
I love when that guy says that. Here's one from Alan, and Alan says, Kate, what are you crazy? You're a Jersey girl. How could you not mention New York pizza first? Matt had it right. You fold it up. If you don't fold it up and it's not dripping onto your shirt, it's not good pizza. I don't even know in some of those places where they're, how they like knead the dough out. They push the dough out and then they throw it. Have you ever seen that, Matt, when they throw the, I mean, I'm talking about really throw the dough.
It's a definitely a technique.
Oh, I couldn't do it.
It's like an artistry to it that I would biff it for sure. It'd end up all over the place, flopping over, collecting dirt off the floor. But I like watching people do it. If they can do it right, it makes the pizza just that much more tasty because it's handmade and everything's just processed, you know, how it's supposed to be for a true Italian-style pizza. You know, that's that New York flavor right there.
Right, I think so. And there is definitely an art to doing it because it's very tough the way that they push the dough out and how, again, how big it gets. It's pretty tough you have to have the right kind of technique to spin it around and not have it too thin or fall apart or fall on the floor or any of that kind of stuff. So there is definitely, definitely, definitely an art to figuring out a way to be able to do that.
I think I saw the debate here, though, just thinking about this real quick.
What did you come up with?
If you're getting just a slice, you need to go New York, because that's a slice of pizza right there. You can't really have a slice of deep dish. But if you want like a whole meal, then you go for the deep dish.
Yeah, that's true. If you were going out with a bunch of people and you were down and it was like a meal, the deep dish would be better. If it's just like that quickie hit, walking down the boardwalk or in New York or whatever, the slice thing, you're right, is better.
Definitely.
There you go.
See, it solved all the problems right here.
Absolutely. That's what there's a big difference. There is a bit, like Sbarro is another place that a lot of people have, and that's where you just get the slice. You're not usually getting the whole pie, you're just getting the slice. Well, because we've been talking about texting so much as a result of some of these accidents and things, especially the big one that happened in Boston, if you remember, although thank goodness nobody was killed in that one. In the United States, they're saying while driving using cell phones, without hands free is becoming more and more common, that it's starting to become illegal in a lot of states. 1 in 4 people say that they text and drive. They did a survey, and 1 in 4 admit that they text. That's crazy. That's crazy high. Crazy. And what happened was that a mobile voice application company polled like 5,000 people. And about 26% of them admitted to driving while texting. I don't know how you do that. I can't do it. By the time I could see, I have like, if I wanted to text, first of all, I have an iPhone, and I'd be hitting so many wrong buttons. I don't even know what I'd be hitting. And I would definitely, I can tell you this, I would literally have to be sitting there. I would be driving on autopilot and looking down the entire time because I couldn't, the way my phone is, I'm not even good at texting. I couldn't do it. It's a touch screen thing, too, and I would be stuck. I'd be stuck in the sense that I'm sure I would have an accident. There's no question. So texting wouldn't even be an option for me at this point. But most people, most especially if somebody's young, it's like second nature to them. They know how to text right away, just grab it, boom, boom, boom. They don't have to look at the keys. They just hit it. But that's terrible. That you're saying that many people are texting. Wow, 60% of all mobile phone users are texting. Oh, that's an incredible amount. And imagine how many are behind the wheel. For shame. Some movies coming out. We're going to tell you about them next on America Tonight.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Since 1991, the 7 Store has been helping you prepare in the event of an emergency. The 7 Store is unlike any company you have ever seen, offering a complete line of products that will prepare you for any catastrophe. At the 7 Store, we do something very different for our customers. Out of hundreds of preparedness companies in the United States, we are the only one who offers the most complete variety of preparedness items. From storable food, survival, terror and pandemic kits, water storage and self-reliant items, the 7 Store is your place for preparedness. The 7 Plan, our 46-page preparedness guidebook, is your go-to guide to help you prepare for the unexpected. You can get this book with no purchase or obligation absolutely free. For more information, please visit us online at the7store.net. That's the7store.net. Or call us today at 888-654-3447. That's 888-654-3447.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Yes, for some of you, a three-day weekend. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, hanging out here on these airwaves across America. America Tonight, the name of the show. Talk about a lot of different things here. Obviously, the heavy subjects of Gitmo, the president defending his stance on, not so much defending it, but saying here's why it has to be closed, and it was really a misguided experiment from the past. And he wants the money. He wants to close it, and we'll see where that ends up. January was D-Day. It was supposed to be closed by then. Ultimately, Dick Cheney and others pushing back and saying, you can't bring these guys here. It doesn't make any sense. And then all of you have your opinions, of course, in between that. All right, movies. There are some interesting ones coming out. So I'm going to tell you about Night at the Museum, the Battle of the Smithsonian. There's been a lot of trailers on that. If you've been to any movies, I'm sure you've seen a trailer or two a long time ago. They cut these trailers pretty early. But the Terminator series with Arnold Schwarzenegger couldn't have been more popular if you remember the whole thing, I'll Be Back and all that. Now there's another Terminator. Of course, Arnold is not in this movie, and this movie is called The Terminator Salvation. Here's a little slice of that.
Connor, come out for you.
Is it Connor?
Connor, are your men ready?
Negative. Nobody is ready. We are not. You are not. We must abort the attack. The game has changed.
What are you talking about? All our elements are past the release points. They are in assault position.
Then delay the attack. At least delay the attack. I have a chance to infiltrate Skynet and rescue those prisoners. Give me that opportunity.
No, absolutely not. This is not the time for a rescue mission. What you ask for will undermine the whole operation.
Skynet has Kyle Reese.
And that is his fate.
No, it's our fate. I have to save him. He is the key. The key to the future, to the past. Without him, we lose everything.
No, you stay the course.
We stay the course. We are dead. We are all dead.
As of this moment, soldier, you are relieved of your command. You are no longer a part of this resistance. I didn't catch that, man. It's safe.
All right. So John Connor is going to lead humanity's war against the machines. But a stranger kind of changes the future of mankind. Who stars in this? Christian Bale, Sam Worthington, Bryce Dallas Howard, the daughter of Ron Howard. Also in this, Jane Alexander, Helena Bonham Carter's in it too. It's PG-13, so it's one of those action, adventure, sci-fi deals. It's a fantasy deal. It's a sequel. And I think if Arnold's not in it, it's just not as good. But you can't bring back Arnold at this point, obviously, the governor of California. And he wouldn't fit the part now. So if you're going to continue the series in a different form, you have to have a different actor. I don't know if Christian Bale, who played Batman at one point, if he's the right guy. So the original Terminator, this is how long this has been around. The original Terminator, 1984. Then, of course, you had Terminator 2, Judgment Day. That was 91. And then Terminator 3, The Rise of the Machines. That was 2003. So it opens this weekend. There are people that just love the Terminator series. And maybe this will do okay at the box office. I think it'll do okay, but I just don't think it's going to be a runaway hit. Now, this one is more likely to be the runaway hit, especially because of the group that it appeals to. The first one was a big-time success, and now they've gone back and they're doing it again. This is another type of sequel to Night at the Museum, and with a different twist. Here's some of that.
DC, this is Air and Space. We are back online and fully operational.
Okay, I think the Einsteins are over here, though.
This is Mission Control. Flight check green.
Where'd you go?
You are cleared.
Where'd they go?
Come back!
DC, this is Mission Control. We are all systems go and green for liftoff.
Roger that. We are green for liftoff.
I want to go, no go for launch. I say no go. Let's not go.
Go! 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 Go!
Working angle, incoming.
Don't go anywhere. Now, D4.
Commence ignition sequence.
Roger that, please.
We have launch commit.
So zoom, no, no, no. 10, 9, 8. No, we do not have to commit. Repeat, we are decommissioning the committal of the launch, and it is now a mandatory launch phase. We are in a no-fly, no-go phase. That is a November Gorgon phase of non-flying. And we're going to say good night, thank you, good work, over and out.
All right, so Ben Stiller once again. He's the Watchman, Larry Daly. It's sequel to the first one that came out in 2006, Night at the Museum. So this is Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. If you've ever been to the Smithsonian, you have to think of what's there. Amelia Earhart, etc. There are her plane. There's a ton of possibilities because, you know, how everything wakes up. So it was kind of a brilliant stroke to use the Smithsonian. Amy Adams is in this movie. Owen Wilson, of course. is back in this movie, too, and I think it'll do well. It's less than 2 hours long. It's PG, and a lot of parents will take kids to this, and for the next couple weeks it'll do well, and it's a good release date because you're heading into the summer where we're getting closer and closer to kids being out of school. So I think that probably does better than The Terminator. And then once you get into the thick of summer, you start to see some other releases. But this is traditionally kind of a big movie week. Absolutely. And you look at what's at the box office now, the choices you have. You have X-Men Origins Wolverine. You have Star Trek. You have Angels and Demons. You've got Monsters versus Aliens. So especially for kids, there's definitely movies to go and see. And then there's a whole bunch of new movies that'll come out in the next couple of weeks that would be high on the list, I think, as well. What was the last movie that you saw, Matt?
In the theater?
Mm-hmm. In the theater, not rental, because I'm sure you've rented a bunch. But
yeah, I haven't been able to see a movie in the theater in a long time just because of the crazy hours I've been working.
So you can't even remember.
I don't even know if I can think of it. What was it?
Batman?
I have no idea.
All right, you take the weekend and you think about what movie you saw last.
I'll take a couple minutes here. Let me see if I can figure it out.
That is not good. He can't remember what movie he saw. I'm a movie hound, and you know it's like Don in Wyoming that calls the show. He's as passionate about it as I am. It's just a great release. But I do go through phases where I see a bunch of movies and then I haven't seen movies in a while. So, it just depends on, what's playing really and how badly I want to see it. And if it is a big screen movie, the last movie I saw was the Star Trek movie.
I figured it out.
What movie was it?
I Love You, Man.
Oh, I Love You, Man.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be good. I didn't see it.
Paul Rudd and I can't remember the other guy's name, but he's in How I Met Your Mother, and he's been in a couple other movies.
Oh, yeah,
Jason
yeah,
Segel,
yeah.
That's his name. Yeah, that
yeah
was,
and it was good?
It was pretty funny. Yeah, it was a good time. Mm-hmm. I think, but it's been a long time. I don't see movies as much as I used to. I used to see about 2 movies a week almost. I was kind of a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Now not so much.
Yeah, I probably see a movie a week or every other week or whatever, but wow, that is a ways back. Because I think that's been probably at least 6 months or so. And
no,
maybe even
I think it's been
longer.
It was like 2 months ago.
Okay, 2 months ago. Yeah, that came out 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my, oh, my. Well, maybe Matt will take the opportunity on his day off to go and catch a matinee, and probably some of you will certainly do that on a relaxing long weekend if you have a long week coming. Please be safe wherever you're driving and think of us here on America Tonight. And remember, even if you're on the road, well, don't text it to us, but when you stop and you're bored, you can text us a message, of course. We don't have a text, actually. We did that. I don't want to even do that, because if we do that, then you're going to do it in the car. I know it. But you can send us an email at americatonight.net. Be careful, everybody.
I'll be back. Hasta la vista, baby.